What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Uncensored Podcast. And today I'm here with
Michael Potter.
And we're going to be talking all about Louisville Athletics because Michael here is a big U of L fan and there's a lot going on in the Louisville Athletics world. So first off, though, Michael, why U of L? Why are you a U of L fan? Like, what makes U of L such an attractive team to be a part of?
You know, I was just born and raised a U of L fan, and I think, honestly, if you're from anywhere in Kentucky, particularly Louisville, whatever your parents are, that's kind of what you become, I'd say. But in all honesty, it might not be the more attractive option, but I have passion and I have hope for these athletics. And also, before he gets to the second question, I just want a big congrats to the volleyball team.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Congratulations to the volleyball Cardinals on making it to the national championship game. Couldn't get it done, but it was that second set was crazy.
I was there. There was an ass in every seat. There is packed. Oh, yeah. Haven't seen it like that.
It looked really good attendance.
There. 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Bittersweet moment losing in the championship because, you know, you're so close, so there's so much emotion, just makes the loss even harder.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, runner-up in any national sport isn't bad.
Yeah. Okay. So, obviously, you know, there's been a lot of big-time Louisville moments. I mean, you could say 2016 Florida State game. That's one of the biggest football games we've had in our history. This year beating Clemson. What's been your favorite all-time experience regarding Louisville athletics? Like, your favorite game? There's something that you're like, that was awesome.
Oh. Probably. Oh, my God. 2019. I wasn't at the game because it's an away game. At Cameron Indoor.
Oh, yeah.
That basketball game was electric.
Oh, yeah. That game was really fun.
That whole year, like, every home game. It was kind of weird to say, but, like, I was up in the crowd chanting, like, we want David Johnson. And then they let him play a little bit and a little more. And by the end of the season, he was a dog. And Duke was so good that year.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just, like, I go back on YouTube and watch that probably, like, once a month to live in the heyday. That 2019 team was special.
Did you go to that Michigan game that year? It was, like, number one versus number four Michigan.
I think I did.
That game was packed. I remember that game.
That 2019 team was crazy.
Yeah.
That freshman class is also iconic. Like, Josh Nickelberry, Quinn Slezinski.
Was Samuel Williamson part of
Samuel
that?
Samuel Williamson. He's in, like,
he's still in college.
Austria now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He's in Euro.
He was a McDonald's All-American. He was supposed to be, like, the truth.
Bruce.
But then he kind of
was. I mean, actually, it wasn't terrible, but, like, he wasn't a five-star.
Yeah, he
was. Like, BJ King.
Yeah.
Like, five-star didn't live up.
Yeah. So, who's your favorite Louisville athlete of all time? Obviously, there's a lot of really good athletes, you know, Bridgewater, you have Lamar, you have Donovan Mitchell, but then some people, like some of the lesser-known guys. Who's your guy? Like, who's your guy for Louisville sports?
If anybody knows me in Louisville sports, you know my guy is Evan Conley. I'm a backup king. I love the backup. Give them their shots. I don't know what the hell year it was. Evan Conley came in on that Wake Forest game, had like the 45-yard run, that little that read option.
Mm-hmm.
He took it right side to the crib. I was an Evan Conley fan ever since. When we rushed the field against Notre Dame last year, he was the one person I was looking for to get a picture. I have a picture of Evan Conley. It is on my lock screen. That is my boy. I don't know why. I always just liked him.
Yeah, that's
it's a pull. It's random.
That's a pull right there.
But if I were to do like a number two, I would do like kind of lame Lamar or like Jordan Nora.
It's just so hard not to like appreciate what Lamar did. Like, the season he had in 2016 was just so special. Like, he put Louisville on the map. Just like,
with, oh,
I mean, that hurdle he had against Syracuse was like, that was just like one of the craziest plays of the year. And then him winning the Heisman too, kind of like solidifying all his success that year. And that was a close Heisman race too with him and Deshaun Watson that year. Because like, I'm not gonna lie, I thought Deshaun, they were gonna give it to Deshaun because Clemson was in the playoff that year.
Yeah.
And we had missed it.
But it was just that whole, was that the same year as the James Quick against Clemson?
Yes, that was that year where we just barely lost.
Barely lost.
Mm-hmm.
That team was good.
Yeah. So, going off that last moment, what's a moment in Louisville athletics that you still look back on today, good or bad?
A bad moment would be, oh, I don't know what year it is. 2018, 2019, 2017, somewhere in there. U of L was hosting Virginia, and DeAndre Hunter hit that bank.
Oh, yeah.
Buzzer beater three.
Yeah.
With like 0.5 seconds on the clock. Oh. They passed it, and there was 0.5 seconds. He got it, hurled it up, bank. And the way like my seats were, I was like in that corner where he was. I will forever, because there was so much just like, the crowd was so hype, and then
we needed that to get in the tournament. We needed that win.
Boom, we lost. Yeah. It was terrible.
So if you don't remember, they only got the ball because one of our players ran the baseline when he couldn't. Because it wasn't off a make or something. So he started running the baseline, and they called him for a travel, so that's why they got the ball.
Oh my god, that's right.
I was like, that win, because they were number one, that would have got us into the tournament that year for sure, probably.
For sure.
Like, we needed that game, though.
Who was on that team?
Was Ryan McMahon on that team?
Brian McMahon definitely was, but
that
was
one of our
star.
Different teams. It was,
what year? 2017?
Was Cunningham on that team?
Christian Cunningham? Kate Cunningham? No, good.
Christian Cunningham. Was he on that team?
Is it 2017?
It was either that or 18. I can't remember, but we had a good, like, it wasn't a good team, but like,
2017, we were number 10 in the nation.
We were?
What? 2018. It was on March 1st. They season swept us.
Yeah, they did.
We came into the season ranked. Wait, no. I don't know.
We were ranked I still remember that one, too. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah. 2018.
Yeah.
God. Ty Jerome was. Oh, Dingadel, Ray Spalding.
Yeah, it was that crew.
Dingadel, Ray Spalding, Honest Mahmood, Quint Snyder, VJ King, Dwayne Sutton, Darius Perry, dog.
Yeah.
This is so early. Jordan Nora didn't even touch the floor.
Yeah, that was like his freshman year, I think.
Yeah. Dingadel was a dog. We have to appreciate Dingadel.
Oh, yeah, he was a dog.
He was just a silent killer, like.
He was nonchalant. He just did everything.
Nonchalant.
But for me, though, like you already said it, that Clemson game, the James Quick, where he stepped out of bounds too early, like, that, I still think about that too. Like, it's like, if he just didn't step out of bounds, he's like, go for it or something. Like,
my God.
Because that game would have been so electric to win, because, like, in Death Valley, you beat Clemson, like, it doesn't happen. Like, in the
beast. Well, it does now.
Now it happens. Now it happens, but, like, to beat that Clemson team, that would have gotten us into the playoffs, too, year.
Yeah. No, I actually think about that a lot. Like, if he didn't step out of bounds, that win,
that would have been a program-changing win.
No, that first down would have been a program-changing down.
Yeah.
We had high odds to make the football playoff.
I don't think we would have had a collapse we did towards the end had we won that game, because
we would have been riding high. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just being so close to beating, like, that real, like, they were off like the national runner ups the year before, and then
I mean, they're dogs.
Yeah.
Clemson's always gonna be good. Yeah. Like, going into this past weekend with like the new college football playoff, I kind of knew SMU and, like, IU, like, I don't know, in my mind, just kind of look at them as smaller teams. And although Clemson did not have, like, they had a good year. Although they didn't have, like, a Clemson year, they still got it. And I knew they were going to be, like, I guess, the best test to
yeah
their opponent there. And, I mean,
they gave Texas a good game. They gave them a good game.
Yeah. I mean, they lost by, like, 14. But, I mean, I feel like Clemson's always just going to be one of those, like, a big team.
Yeah.
I feel like big team's always going to win.
Yeah. I mean,
like, Boise State's going to get shat on.
I hope they don't, because I love Ash and Genty, but they might get shit on, yeah. Okay.
If they won, though, that would send, like, shockwaves to the community.
Well, you already know all the Ash and Genty Heisman ranters are going to be like, that's why he deserves the Heisman. If, like, he goes...
I was on the Genty train, and then somebody said that he had, like, similar stats to, like, 2018 Melvin Gordon, and I'm like... All right, well, Melvin Gordon didn't get it. Like, yeah. If anybody can do... And Melvin Gordon's played better competition at Wisconsin. So,
yeah, that's the only thing that goes against him is he did have a really good game against Oregon, but that was, like, the only, like, good team he had played all.
However, snaps is still not a stat.
It's not a stat.
It's not a stat.
Like, I'm
sorry. Is it impressive what he did? Yes, but you can't put snaps as a stat.
Because here's the thing, though. For Ashton, when he has a one-play touchdown, that should be... Like, for him. Like, the last snaps he plays.
True,
like,
I didn't even think about that.
I mean, if you're going to look at if snaps are a stat or not, which they're not, like, you shouldn't win the Heisman based off, like, what Travis did was incredible, producing at a high level on both sides of the ball. But, like...
Not every place to him, like...
Exactly.
Like, they...
They're not throwing the ball
is run 50% of the plays in football. And... Let's say 25, and they split them whether they go left or right. So on defense, he's only getting 25% of the runs to his side. And then same on offense. So, what is that, like half the stats?
Maybe half?
Yeah.
So, Jeff Brohm, he's been here for 2 years. First year, 10-4, ACC, made our first ACC championship game. This year, finished 8-4. Beat Clemson and beat Kentucky.
Wait, 8-4.
Yeah.
And we were 10-4.
10-4 last year because we lost to Pitt, lost to Kentucky.
Oh, where did the two extra games spawn in?
Florida State ACC championship.
Oh, ACC championship and
then
bowl.
USC bowl game. Yeah.
Oh, but they're both losses. Oh, yeah. I see. Because we were 10-2.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what are your overall impressions of the Jeff Brohm era so far into it? Because obviously, you know, this year was kind of a letdown because of where we were last year.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you look at Jeff Brohm's first two seasons back home in the Ville?
I love him. I think it, it takes time to be good in football. And not saying we got lucky our first year, but, like...
That schedule was pretty easy.
That schedule was pretty cake. And... I mean, he had a hell of a team, but it was complemented by its schedule.
Mm-hmm.
This year, the schedule was tougher.
Yeah.
Much tougher, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least 4 or 5 ranked opponents we had in there. But I like where this is going. I like his recruiting ability is insane. I thought Scott Satterfield was a hell of a recruiter.
Yeah.
And Jeff Brohm came in these past 3 years.
And he's been running the transfer portal game.
He runs the transfer portal. Tim and Lane gets like all the 5 stars. Mm-hmm. Kiffin, but I mean, he gets everybody else.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like how he's able to... I kind of feel bad for the kids in some sense, like Pierce, or like if we bring in somebody, like he just brings in literally everybody, and then you have to fight for a spot.
Exactly.
Like, he probably promises people, like, oh, you're gonna start. But I mean, as a fan, I know he's putting like the best people out there.
Yeah. My thing with Brohm is, like, I think we're Louisville fans, we never really had expectations like we did with Satterfield. Like, so when we got to the ACC championship game, it was a whole new just like world for us.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've never been there before.
Yeah.
And then, like, this year's okay, like, you lose Notre Dame, that's one thing.
We could have so easily won that Notre Dame game. We shot ourselves in the foot over and over again.
Yeah, we made mistakes that game. And then...
Like, it was nothing Notre Dame did.
Like, the SMU game was like, that's a fumble call away from being a completely different game. Like, which everyone knows that was a fumble. And then we had a shootout against Miami. I mean, there's really nothing more the offensive side of the ball could have done. Like,
no.
They were matching them almost every drive up and down the field. It's like, But then you can't lose that Stanford game.
No,
that's just a game you can't lose. Like,
no. And like, I'm kind of a big believer, like, people complain, like, oh, you can't lose that. Or, like, we shouldn't be doing that. But, or it's like, Alabama should have made the playoff, but why should Alabama be in the position?
They shouldn't have been.
You shouldn't, a good team shouldn't put themselves in the position to be even teetering on the line of getting in the playoff or, like, in this scenario, losing to Stanford. Like, yes, Tayon Holiday, whatever the hell his name is, single-handedly lost us that game and then proceeded to beat his girlfriend and get arrested.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the ball, we should not have been in that position where it was a one-score game against Stanford. Yeah, like,
I mean, it's like when you have Lane Kiffin on Twitter and like all these Alabama fans, like, if you don't lose to Kentucky and you don't lose to Florida, you're in the playoffs.
No, Lane Kiffin bitching about that is the stupidest thing ever. Don't lose to Kentucky at home. I'm sorry.
Like, that Kentucky team was horrible. Like,
look at our wins. But okay, losses count just as much.
You can't lose that Kentucky team, especially the way they finished, too. Like, had Kentucky finished, like, a winning record or, like, looked good at least, different story.
Yeah.
They did not look good, though. And then you have, like, Alabama fans, like, you cannot crap the bed that hard against Oklahoma, who was, like,
yeah.
Oklahoma had a dog shit year this year. Like, they did not look good at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into their, like, you go, obviously, Norman's a tough place to play, but you scored 3 points the whole game?
Yeah, that's something you can't do. And I debated this for probably an hour two nights ago with, like, a family friend. And, like, we were, like, thinking, like, debating, of course. And I don't think there is a world that conference championship games and the 12-team playoff live together. Because there's only 8 teams, or only 8 or 10 teams that are in these conference championship games, and then the other ones are just left out to dry, and like, they get a conversation, but they don't. Conference championship games are amazing with a 4-team playoff. They show who should go, who shouldn't. But with a 12-team playoff, I think it might just cause a little too much playoff.
Here's my take on it. The conference champions don't get the byes, but they get automatic bids. Like, they make the playoff, but they don't get the byes. Like, the actual top 4 teams get the byes.
They have to reseed the thing. They have to.
Like, I'm sorry, like,
Boise State,
like, as much as I love them, they
should. Or no, it's not Boise State. Boise State and Arizona
like,
State.
They should not be there. Like, I'm sorry, Texas, Ohio State even. Like, both those teams are more deserving of a bye than
Penn State. No, like, Penn State, yeah.
Like, but why does Oregon have to play the winner of Tennessee, Ohio State as their first game? Like, they're the number one team in college football, and they have to play Ohio State their first game back? Like,
they should be playing, like, Boise State, Arizona State. That's how every single other tournament in the world goes.
Every NCAA tournament, too. It's like you have 1-16. It's like
the 12-team playoff is a great idea. They just have to reseed it.
Yeah.
They're going to have to fix the seeding after this year.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Because like,
you can't have, because it creates the easiest path for, who is it this year? Texas? Is it Texas in the top left?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they play Clemson, and they go and play Arizona State.
Yeah, like, here's my thing with it. It's like, everyone wants to hate on Indiana's strength of schedule. Texas's strength of schedule is not that good this year.
Yeah, it was not.
They
crazy.
Played like a bunch of bottom feeders in the SEC that they just beat up on. Like, they lost their only good game. Like, they lost to Georgia.
They lost both their tough games.
Exactly. They lost them both. And it's like,
I mean, did they beat Clemson? Yeah, but Clemson was maybe not at top.
Their best win, along with Indiana, was Michigan. That was their best win on the year.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll say, though, the ACC is not that strong.
No, it's not.
If SMU and Alabama are playing, I'm placing the money line.
Oh, yeah. Alabama's going to win that game. Like, really, SMU, if their quarterback doesn't throw 2 pick-sixes, like,
yeah. But I also think, like, yes, I'm betting on Bama, but, like, I also would have bet on Bama against Oklahoma. Like, there's always a shot for a team to come and, like, upset. And I think with expanding to the bigger format, like, that's something you have to account for. Like, with the 4-team playoff, like, you know you're getting the four best top dog teams.
Exactly.
Like, but with the 12-team, like, there's always going to be up for grabs. Like, there's teams are obviously going to be better. So, it's just seeing if somebody can upset.
So, obviously now we're almost in the midst of basketball season. So, what's your expectations for Pat Kelsey and the team as they finish out the season? Obviously, they've had a lot of injuries. And it's like kind of derailed the team. But what's your expectations for the rest of the year?
No, I think we're going to be a top five team in the ACC. I think we are way better than what our schedule has us as. With I mean, well, we're 7-5, 5 losses. They're all the top 15.
Yeah,
4 of them are top 15. The other one's ranked, I think. So, I mean, we're including the number 1 team in the nation, the number 4 team in the nation, the number 15 team in the nation. And
we gave Kentucky all they could handle at home.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. And we're finding our shot right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think is good.
We're
finding our way without Kayshawn.
We really put a beat down on Florida State even without Kentucky having a great game. Like.
No, yeah. Rain Smith. Actually, funny story. Going a little off topic here. I was walking out of the volleyball game yesterday and I saw Rain Smith, Kenai Ruths, and Kobe Rogers earlier. And I'm walking out, and, like, Rain Smith was walking across the... What are the...
The crosswalk?
No. What's, like, the inside of the stadium behind the bleachers called? Like, the pavilion, kind of.
Oh.
Like, where you just walk to the exit, pretty much. And
the concourse?
Yeah, the concourse. And, like, Kenai and Kobe are out on, like, the wall. And Rain's walking to them. And Rain's right next to me. And, I mean, he just had 27 points. He had his best game of the year. I'm like, hey, good game, Rain. And I gave him a fist bump. And then 2 seconds later, I walk, and I hear damn Kenai Ruths mock me. And he went, hey, good game, Rain. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I was pleased, but also, like, it was funny. And I walked in back Kelsey to that game. Like, he was just walking in with his wife at a regular entrance. He had tickets on his phone. Like, he literally looks like...
He looks like
an average Joe.
Dude, Pat's the funniest guy, though. Bro.
Yeah.
Like,
I think...
Remember his one media response was like, my wife's hot.
My wife's hot.
My kids are good health. Yeah. I have free sneakers. We get to wear sweatsuits to work. Life is good.
That was top tier. But, okay, wait, take it back on the question, though. I think we're good. Our rotation is short, but it might derail us later on in the season.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to do well in the ACC, because sadly, like every other sport, the ACC is not...
Yeah. It's weaker this
too year. Strong, and we've played some strongest opponents, build us up, and I think... Going forward in the PK era, I think, kind of to compare here, PK and Mark Pope both are like tradition, like a tradition rich coach. Like,
yeah, like they're going to buy into the programs, yeah. Like with the fan bases. Like.
Exactly. And I think compared to Pat Kelsey, Mark Pope already had ties to Kentucky, so it's kind of easier for him to build this team up, and like, this isn't an excuse, but it was easier for him to get to a winning tradition faster because
absolutely.
He already had ties to the program and
exactly.
all that. Like, Pat Kelsey was like our fourth hire and like came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I think we give it like 2-3 years, like we're gonna be a solid ass team and a solid ass program.
Like, once he kinda like, obviously, he didn't really get the recruits he wanted to, like, when he came in. Like,
but, I mean, we've seen what he's been able to do with these
exactly.
five stars. What's
like,
his name?
But just think once,
Michael?
Just think once he gets, like, the guys he wants, he'll obviously probably use the transfer portal, too.
Yeah.
Just think what he can do with, like, he's got the guys playing hard. I mean, a shorthanded game against Kentucky, like, if we got blown out and we're like, oh, lost number 14. Nah, he had him in the game, like...
Yeah, well, we lost by like 8-9.
I think it was like 93-85. It was like a very high scoring game.
And I mean, on top of that, Lamont Butler shot 100% and had 30 points.
Exactly.
And then two nights ago, gets dicked on by Ohio State with 3 points.
Exactly. Like, that's what is a game of runs, really. And they were able to make some more runs towards the end, but like.
Yeah.
But, so that leads into my next one. Like, how do you see the future of Louisville Athletics with NIL and the transfer portal like, playing such a big role, like, with where players are going? Because I feel like now, players aren't just all going to, like, Bama like they used to in football. There's talent spreading around the country to these different programs that can have NIL money.
Yeah. For sure. I heard something that, like, U of L wasn't able to, like, fully pay their NIL players, but I don't know if that was true. But we're still getting the guys, and this could have no correlation, but I see U of L going to a big place. We're a big city. We have lots of money. Mm-hmm. We have lots of donors. And if we produce good seasons, these big donors are going to come in and support the team. Mm-hmm. So, unless if they're like UK fans, but they still might buy in because they don't travel over there.
Yeah.
Hopefully they buy in and more money's given to the 502 circle, and then we're able to spread that wealth amongst all sports and players.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, obviously, like, people can build a brand. Like, Elena Scott and Anna Beard, these girls are like,
they're hometown heroes.
Yeah, but, yeah, they're from Louisville, but they're literally known everywhere. Yeah,
they're big time.
Their brands are massive. And, I mean, they're making their own bread.
Mm-hmm.
All that.
Even in women's volleyball, which you'd never think would have, like, a following, has a following now.
Yeah. I mean, women's volleyball is booming. But to narrow it down with the football team, I think he's kind of, again, these, like, small college recruits. Like, Southern University, Coastal Carolina. Mm-hmm. Which he's probably not giving as much money to.
Yeah.
So hopefully, we're stockpiling a little cash to get the Branch Brothers in here.
If we get
the Branch Brothers.
Zachariah Branch is a burner, dude. That guy.
He was the number one wide receiver recruit like 2 years ago.
He's a flat out flyer down the field, dude.
Yes,
like,
bro.
He could give some teams problems. Like,
yes. We already got Miller Moss. Step one.
And they were teammates.
Yeah, that's why it's step one. And then hopefully we're saving up a little bag to throw at them. Because he's a brother, right? And he's a corner, right?
Here's the thing that I feel like that makes it so good is, like, since Louisville already has an established run game, that makes it so much more intriguing to a quarterback who's like, okay, I'm going to have to do everything. So I have a run game. Like, I mean, Duke Watson and Isaac Brown, like,
dude,
Duke Watson went crazy.
They better. Also, I hope our NIL fund throws a bag at those two.
Keep those two at all costs.
Good God, they're demons.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we started using Isaac Brown earlier in the year. It's like,
we did.
No, but I'm talking like there were some games where we didn't really use him like as much as we could have. Like the Notre Dame, I don't think he had like many. He wasn't getting much carries because they were giving it to other guys, but like.
I mean, Zachariah Branch is the fourth overall. Sorry, I'm looking. He's the fourth overall recruit in the whatever it's called in the portal right now.
Mm-hmm.
Was Deuce Robinson on our radar?
I think he is, but I'm not sure if we'll get him or not.
He went to Florida State.
Yeah.
Dane Key went to Georgia.
He did.
He's 100% crystal balled there.
That's interesting.
You know, it's all.
I mean, like, here's what I'm talking. Like, the first game, it was, like, against Jacksonville State, he had, like, they were still giving Maurice Turner a lot of the carries.
Yeah, Maurice Turner and, like, Keyshawn Brown. I kind of feel bad for them.
Yeah. And then again, like, against Georgia Tech, he only had 3 carries that whole game.
Georgia Tech, he only had 3
carries.
That's not good.
It's like, I wish they started, like, it's like, you could see it from the first game. He had 4 rushes for $125. Like, you could tell he was going to be, like, special. Like, Oh, yeah. Against Notre Dame, like 13 for 72 against that Notre Dame team, like...
Yeah. I mean, he's just a little... He's a little bowling ball that has crazy legs on him. So he hits that, like... He hits that C gap. Our offensive line also helped them so much this year.
Yeah.
That tackle and guard on either side would just create the biggest hole ever he'd go. And then he'd just run around everybody else and be like 40-yard touchdown. We got a ton of guys.
Yeah, we do have
leaving.
A lot.
Leaving.
Yeah. Like Ryder's leaving.
Who?
Mason Ryder, he's leaving. He went to Wisconsin. Obviously,
Callaway left. Jimmy Callaway? Yeah, he went to Tulane.
Yeah, he wasn't getting much run though.
Jaleel McClain.
He was from that 23 class.
McClain?
He came in with Pierce.
Donald Cheney, that dude was ass. Bro. Oh, Ryder went back to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Madden Sanker left?
Yeah, that one hurts. He's only a freshman too.
No, he wasn't.
I thought he was a freshman.
I wonder why he left. I mean, okay, maybe they suck and they're just hyped up.
Yeah.
Jaden Thompson. One person I'm happy to see stay so far is JoJo Stone.
Yeah. He was supposed to go to LSU, right? But then we stole him from LSU?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't touch the field, but I think he's got a lot of upside. Hopefully he can...
Yeah, so do I.
Hopefully he can play in this bowl game and do, you know, well.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously...
On another note, it's bad losing... Pierce Clarkson.
He did so much
but
for
that,
the team.
Like, he did so much. Well, he did so like, much for the program, but he was definitely ass.
No, yeah, like he was
because he's
too small.
He transferred when he realized he wasn't going to start in the
bowl
game.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he was like, where will he even go? Like Stanford?
I don't know.
UCLA.
But here's the thing: coming out of high school, he had some really good offers, like Oregon, Ole Miss, like
really
some really good offers, like. He was cooking on that St. John Bosco team that like went crazy.
Yeah, but he was also on that St. John Bosco team.
Like, it was stacked.
Like that team was stacked. He probably didn't have to do much.
Yeah.
That I still remember that commitment video. That thing was so long and so high.
Remember when we had DeAndre Moore, the guy who's at Texas now?
Yeah.
He was gonna come in with Pierce.
He was gonna come here. Low key, all praise to that guy. I've been watching him all season. It was between Louisville, where he would have been sitting on his couch right now. Actually, no, he's practicing for the bowl, or he's playing in the National Football Championship
for Texas
as a starter.
Exactly.
He starts. He gets catches. He gets reps.
Exactly. Like you can't blame the kid for going to get his.
No.
But like, so obviously another weekend of the college.
He's a smart player.
Yeah. So another weekend of college football playoff. The second round starts. Who you got?
What are the matchups? Arizona
State play.
I don't know. Probably Texas.
Texas is just too talented for.
I think Texas is too big. I bet Scatterboro will have a good game. Is that his name?
I think that's for Arizona State. Yeah.
Yeah, Scatterboro will have a good game. I like their head coach. Oh, but he's the old OC from Oregon, right?
I think that's who it is.
He's kind of a crazy guy. Yeah. Definitely is just a football whiz.
Yeah. And then Boise State,
Penn State.
I mean, we'll see if they can stop Ash and Genty, but like I feel like if they can just contain him enough to like make Boise throw the ball to where they can't give it to him.
Yeah.
Because like if you get down a game, you really can't run the ball like you want to.
No.
But and probably the best game.
I feel like I've been overlooking Penn State all year. Like, I just don't really think about them. They're solid and they're going to win.
Well, it's that James Franklin can never win the big one. Like, against Ohio.
He can never win the big game.
Like, Michigan, Ohio State. Like, he's always lost the big one. And it's all. It's this,
but he also doesn't have a rival, which is kind of weird.
Who knows? Like, it's like, he's such a good coach against everyone else. It's like Ryan Day. He's so good against everyone else besides Michigan. And then the game of the weekend, probably, Ohio State versus Oregon, that rematch will be...
Yeah, it's a rematch. It's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah.
See if Will Howard can play can keep it up. He's been playing all right. Obviously surrounded by extreme talent over there.
Jeremiah Smith, bro.
Who's better, Jeremiah Smith or Ryan Williams?
I've always been on the Jeremiah Smith train. But here's the thing.
I think they're equal.
There's such different receivers, though. Like, Ryan's more like a speed guy. I feel like Jeremiah's more crisp with his routes and can just, like, high point.
Jeremiah's going to catch every ball, but Ryan is better after the catch.
He's a burner. Like,
he's better after the catch,
Georgia,
too.
Like, that movie put on those Georgia defenders.
Yeah.
Like, he had them both lost.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're both really good. Yeah. Like, it's kind of hard to pick one because they're so good for their teams.
Yeah,
it's
but they're like, both, like, different. Yeah.
I mean, like,
I'd say they're pretty equal.
Yeah, I mean, obviously people are going to want to pick one or the other, but it's like...
But also something to put in your brain is Jeremiah Smith is not the number one option.
Oh, yeah, Ibuka is.
Yeah.
And then, so he had 63 catches, 1,000 yards, and 12 touchdowns. That was Jeremiah Smith.
Dang.
And then Ryan Williams had 45 catches, 857 yards, 8 touchdowns.
How many yards did Jeremiah Smith have?
1,057.
Ooh.
So we almost doubled. So we had 200 more yards than Williams did.
Not double, but it is 200.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's going to be like, so it'll probably be 1-2 whenever the draft rolls around, when they can go to the draft.
You think they're going 1-2?
No, not like in wide receivers.
Not number one pick. God.
Like, not number one to pick, but like they'll be the top two receiver prospects. Unless someone else shows up.
Someone will break out this year.
Yeah.
Zachariah Branch on the cards, aka.
Yeah, if we could get him, that would be really good. Who you got, Georgia or Notre Dame? I feel like that could be
that's a toss up.
I feel like Notre Dame, like, they have a defense that could match. I've heard Carson Beck might not play in that game.
I heard he's, like, not playing, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, so, like... I
forgot about that.
If Carson Beck doesn't play, it's like...
But how good is Carson Beck?
He hasn't been that good this year. He really hasn't. He's kind of been mid this year. It's like...
Stetson Bennett was the backup, and he won the Natty twice.
Yeah. And it's like...
Jake Fromm was the backup.
Maybe they need a backup for the Natty.
Maybe they get the backup to win another Natty for them.
Maybe this is the Kirby way. Like, just the starter gets hurt, bring in the backup, and the backup just manages the game and wins the national championship.
I mean, it's not vanilla, but if it wins the game, then...
Yeah.
Hell, but that's one way to win a game.
They do have some really good running backs. They got, like, I know they have ETN's brother, Trevor.
Yeah.
He's a dog.
He's a dog.
But I think Texas will just out-talent Arizona State. Like, as good as Arizona State probably is, I just don't think they have the talent to, like, go up with Texas. Like,
they're good, though. I'm going to ask you a question now.
Something
kind of switching back to Louisville. We kind of got a little off-track just about sport. Who is your favorite and least favorite player on the Hoops team this year?
For Louisville? I have a love-hate relationship with Terrence Edwards. Like, when he's on, he's so fun to watch. But then he has games where he just plays really bad.
Dude, he's been on, like, the past, like, four games.
He's been on these last
couple. He found it, I think.
Yeah. And then I really like Rain Smith. You know, he's just a good shooter. Like, I loved Ryan McMahon when he was at Louisville just because, like, you knew if Ryan McMahon was set, he was going to make it.
Let the record know. I hate Rain Smith. That dude shoots way too much.
He does shoot. He shoots too many threes.
If he didn't have the breakout game he did 2 days ago,
oh
my God, I'd be ripping his ass right now on this podcast.
But yeah,
He shoots so much! And what, he shoots like
30%? No, like, he's never set almost sometimes. He's like moving or doing something. It's like, he's always like, I say with Jaden Johnson, bro. When Jaden is set on a three, he makes it almost like all the time. But when he's doing all this dribble stuff and he's moving around, it's like, when you're set, it's cash every time. But like,
but sometimes Rain is set and he
misses it too.
And he misses it. He I kind of think there's a weird stigma. Like, people will come in and be like, oh, I'm a shooter.
Yeah.
And then teams feel the need to, like...
feed them. Like, just
feed them. And it be okay if they miss. When I think if we gave Chucky Hepburn as many shots from the from beyond,
like half the, he would half the
shots, he would have a better shooting percentage. I think Chucky is our best shooter from beyond the arc.
Yeah, I mean, dude, remember that 1-3?
But he doesn't shoot.
Dude, that 1-3 against Kentucky, he had the shot clock going down.
Oh my god! But like Rain Smith is missing that.
But then, dude, Noah Waterman, bro, he had a good game against Florida State.
What? No, what,
dude?
Dude, him and Rain Smith need to figure the hell out.
Noah Waterman shoots too many. Like, get your big ass in the paint, bro. Like,
yes, and he's a dog at getting bounds.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, it's,
but like, then he goes.
Get in the paint and get some rebounds for me. Like,
what? Kentucky
hit you out there.
Kentucky had like 12 bounds. Like, stay in there, get your bounds, and kick it out to Chucky
or any, like, just
or Terrence for hell in that game.
Yeah, Terrence was cooking.
Oh, him or Chucky
out of the gate.
He loads that thing back all the way to his shoulder and then...
yeah. And then,
it's like
a
catapult.
I don't know, dude. It's just... get in the paint and stop, like, trying to be, like... I don't even know who's trying to be.
Rain Smith?
No, but he wants to be, like, calling Anthony Towns where he shoots all these threes. It's like, get in the paint and grab me some boards, bro. Like, I don't need, like...
but he's not Cat.
Exactly. Like, James Scott should not be, like, our center. He should be like our driver guy. But like, we had to put
no. If we had James Scott and Noah Waterman both working the paint, we're getting everybody.
Like,
and okay, this may sound stupid. One thing that I love that Louisville's been doing this year compared to last year is whenever like a shot goes up, if we don't have control of the rebound, we just fucking tip that thing back out to the half court, and Chucky's there every single time. We reset the shot clock and we get another shot. That is the greatest thing that Louisville basketball has done this year.
Javon Hadley,
we just throw that thing out.
Yeah, Javon Hadley's leading the team in rebounds right now.
Javon Hadley, okay, I have mixed emotions about him. I like him as a defensive player and a rebounder. I love how he plays big.
Yeah, he's 6'6".
But that man is so slow in the paint.
Yeah.
He takes so long to back down, and then he has no bag. He has he has one single finishing move, and I don't know, unfortunately, it was Bo Bowen. This, like, freshman, this dude understands that Javon Hadley has one move, and it's like a finger roll right next to the rim, and he was just blocking the hell out of him. We got blocked so many times in that Florida State game. It was absolutely insane. Like,
bro, like, Rain shoots...
Pass that John back out.
Bro, Rain is shooting, like... 9 threes every game at least.
That's insane. How many? Let's see how many blocks Florida State has.
He's shooting 38% from three, so that's not bad, but it's like, he's shooting the ball a lot. Like,
but I am not mad with Louisville basketball going 15 for 29 from 3-point and shooting 52%.
That's
I will take that every single game.
I went to the, which game was I went to? It was our last home game.
Damn, I'm looking at the stat sheet from Florida State. Terrence Edwards is him.
Oh,
19 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, and a steal.
It was our game against UTEP, bro. We were shooting so bad that game.
What, we shot 17%.
He was
6 for 34.
Dude, it was rough. Like,
looking, the boy Terrence Edwards still at 22.
I know, like...
Duke, we shot well in the 35%. Like...
dude,
but the past two games we found at UK we shot 40%.
That Duke game was the game that hurt our depth. Like, our depth hurt us so much.
Because
we were up in that game, like, the whole time. But then, like, slowly but slowly, Duke was just coming back and cutting into our lead. Like,
I'm really not mad at the team this year. I'm not mad at the team. Rain Smith, yo ass gotta stop shooting so much.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like...
James Scott, you're actually kind of tough. I like you.
I like James Scott. He's
my favorite player though is Kenai Ruth.
Yeah.
That dude has so much potential. Oh my god, he's got a damn KD build.
Yeah.
He's like, how tall is he? It doesn't say on here. He's so freaking, he's 6'8". 6'8", 6'9", and like, That dude can move. He went to IMG. Mm-hmm. He's just a dog.
Yeah.
I think if we can, in a couple of years, if we can get him, that one Michael guy. He's like the fourth overall player in this class. Mm-hmm. He's a point guard. Gilbert Arenas' son.
Oh, yeah.
Tyron Stokes.
I think Gilbert's daughter's already on U of L.
Yeah, that's why the dude's repping all the U of L jerseys. Exactly. Like,
I'd love to get him here.
I mean, too. We have a lot of prospects. Tyron Stokes.
Dude. I don't know if he'll
Come here, but we are the only thing he's ever posted on Instagram.
He just... I feel like he's been... Like, obviously, he is from the 502, but, like, he's been out of Louisville for so long.
Is he really?
He played for Prolific Prep, like, for a long time.
So he's like D'Angelo Russell.
Basically like D'Angelo Russell.
Like, born here, but then moved and played for an academy.
Exactly. Like, but again, if we could get him, that'd be a
big pickup.
Yeah.
I think, and PK can recruit. I mean.
Absolutely, he can. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Haas.
I'm Michael Potter. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for listening.